if God knows your heart, if you're not saved, you're backslidden on the Lord, you think about how can we be just with God? And what does God say in His Word about this? I mean, Job no doubt had heard a lot of different things. I like what the other one, Bildad had just said about hope. He talked about hope being, cut off. And if hope's cut off, you know, what's going to transpire? And of course, later on that Job deals with that fact, and he talks about a tree being cut down. And that's a whole other message, but he talks about a tree being cut down. And he said there is yet hope through the scent of water. And that's a whole other message, like I said. But, even though everything looks bad and everything looks wrong, hey, listen, with God, there's still some hope. With the Lord, there's still some hope, praise God. I'm reminded, somebody said some time ago that the Pope was making an appearance in, I think it was in Winston-Salem, and somebody wanted to put a banner up, and they did put a banner up. There's no hope in the Pope. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope in the Lord, and there's not hope in man, really. I mean, the hope that we can really have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man will always let you down. Man will always fail you, but God will always lift us up. How can a man be justified? First of all, let me say, this is a common question. It's been asked down through the ages, as we already said. It's been asked probably 3,500 years. The question's been asked, or even longer, the question's been asked, how can a man be justified with God? How can a man be right with God? And really, a lot of the answers that we think about, and a lot of the answers that people have come up with, no doubt, they even bring more confusion and more trouble to the thought about what the Scripture really says about this. But really, I mean, it's a common question. You talk to folks sometimes and you think about how things are going in this day and time, and a lot of times people have questions that are coming to us now in this day and time, Brother Tom. They maybe asked different questions about how things is going on and how you feel things will go, and people are in despair and things like that, and they wonder about the trouble over there in the Middle East, and there's going to be trouble over there. They've been fighting for a couple of weeks or more, and then finally got together with a ceasefire, and just as soon as they did, that crowd of terrorists started shooting more rockets into Israel already. I mean, just a short moments after the ceasefire was declared yesterday. Hey, there's going to be trouble in this land. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible says, in these last days that we live in. Well, I tell you what, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but I tell you what, and we're called to do that, and the Bible tells us to do that, but the true peace is not going to come till the Prince of Peace comes, and He sets up His kingdom, and He rules and reigns for 1,000 years, and He's reigning there in Jerusalem. That's when the true peace is going to come. In fact, great statement that was made later on was, that you'll always have trouble in this world. And Job also said, man that's born of a woman is full of days and full of trouble, or full of both, I reckon it was. But anyhow, the Scripture clearly tells us that Job dealt with a lot of different questions and a lot of different things came to his mind at this time. And it's the same way today. I mean, thousands of years later, 3,500 years later, man still has that question. How am I going to get right with God? How am I going to be just with God? It's a common question. Not only that, second of all, let me say, and you pray for me, I'm going to hurry along. Second of all, let me say, it's an important question, though. It's an important question. It wasn't a question that Job was trying to say, you know, this question is something I don't understand and something that I don't know about. It was a very important question that was raised by Job. He had these things come up in his mind, no doubt, as they begin to talk and they begin to say what they had to say, but yet everything wasn't actually right. And maybe it was right, but it didn't apply to Job in some areas of his life. So he began to talk and he began to deal with this thing. And this question, though, was a very important question because man's destiny is connected with it. I mean, I really believe you have to be right with God to go to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I believe you have to be just with God to go to heaven.
That's right.
And you say, preacher, how in the world is this possible? Well, I believe it's a hard thing concerning man. It's a hard thing concerning ourselves, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to say, though, regardless, it is an important question, because one of these days, like we sung a while ago, there is a place called heaven. Amen. There is a place with the gates of pearl. There is a Lord that's coming soon to take us home. There is a place that has streets of gold and walls of jasper and those gates of 12 gates of one pearl. Man, I tell you, that's something else. I heard a preacher say one time, I'd like to see the oyster. Amen. They got that pearl out, amen. Or them 12, be 12 big oysters somewhere, wouldn't it? God prepared it somewhere, I reckon, or God just made it. It's God. God makes it anyhow, amen. God makes all the creation. But I mean, it's an important question, because our eternity is based on how we can answer this question, how we deal with this question. Not only that, let me say, and right along with that, it's a difficult question. It's a difficult question, because I'll tell you that man doesn't have the answer within himself. Man doesn't have the answer within his own wisdom. Man doesn't have the answer within his own goodness. Man doesn't have the answer within his own works. It's a difficult question. It's difficult, first of all, because of the character of God. It's a difficult question because of the character of God. How are you going to be right with the Holy One? How are you going to be right with a thrice holy God? Several different times the Scripture says, and they begin to cry, and in Revelations the beasts begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy. He's a thrice holy God. I don't know, I guess that's a holy for God the Father, holy for God the Son, and holy for God the Spirit. But they cry out, holy, holy, holy. And the Scripture tells us they're continually doing that day after day. They're continually doing that, and they don't cease from doing that. And He deserves every bit of it because He's a holy God. He deserves every bit of it because of His holiness. Not only that, I think about it's a difficult question because God is righteous. God is righteous. I mean, the Bible tells us in one place, will not the Lord of all do right? He will. He will do righteous. He will do what's right. In fact, I think it was Abraham, as he began to beg and plead with God. And peradventure, you know, they would be 50, and then he cut it down and cut it down to 10. He said, will not the Lord of all do right? Yes, He will. He's righteous. He's holy. He's a just God. I'm sure there's not going to be, we think about it today, folks think about it today, they say, well, surely, you know, surely the Lord will let me in. People will say, surely the Lord will let me into heaven. Surely I've did enough good work. Surely I've did this and I've done that. But the Bible tells us there's going to be a crowd there like that one of these days. They say, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? That's some preachers right there that ain't going to make it. You go right on down the line, prophesied in Thy name and all the different things that He recorded, and they'll say, well, I never knew You. Not that I knew You once and I forgot about You. Lord, don't forget about us. He said, I never knew You. It's difficult because of the holy and righteous and just God. I mean, nobody's going to stand up there and argue with God about their destiny. They're going to know about their destiny. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Just this moment that spirit leaves the body, they're in the presence of the Lord, or they're in the pits of hell, burning forever and ever. Just as much as we talk about heaven, as much as there is a place called heaven, there's a place called hell. As much as there's a holy God, there's a devil. There's a god of this world that tries to deceive us and throw us a curve over and over again. We've got these battles. But nevertheless, think about it. I mean, it's a difficult question because the character of God. Not only that, it's a difficult question because the character of man. It's a difficult question because the character of man, he's sinful. We've all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of His glory. We're guilty. Whether we plead guilty or not, we're guilty. You say, what are you talking about? I mean, whether we plead guilty or not, we're still guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then let me say also another thing about the character of man. He's helpless. I say, preacher, you're painting the pretty bleak picture. Well, hang on. Hold on just a minute. But I mean, this is truthful. I mean, it's either right or wrong. We either are headed in the right direction or the wrong direction. If there's a right church, there's a wrong church. If there's a God in heaven, there's a devil that's alive and well on this earth. If there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Well, think about it. I mean, man, how is he going to reach up to a holy God and be right and be just and within himself, pull himself up by the bootstraps, as they say, and stick his fingers behind his suspenders and look up? How is he going to be right and just before a holy God? It's a hard question that Job puts forth here. How should a man be just with God? But I want to say, it's also a question that man tries to answer within himself. Think about it. They say, well, God's a merciful God. God's a loving God, and he's not going to send anybody to hell. You ever heard somebody say that? You probably heard several folks say that. He's not going to send anybody to hell. Well, I will submit to you, he doesn't send them to hell. They send themselves to hell. Jesus already came and died for them. Jesus already paid the penalty of their sin, and he's already taken care of that penalty that hangs over everybody's head because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus has already paid it all, praise God. It's a question that man tries to answer. He says God's merciful, God's a loving God. Then also he said, well, man's not so bad after all. You know, I'm not too bad after all. You know, I haven't done this and that and the other. You know, I'm not too bad after all. I'm a good person. You know, that's the philosophy that the world has a lot, really. I mean, they have the philosophy that if you're good, you're going to heaven. If you're bad, you're going to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. It teaches that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It teaches there's none good. No, not one. I remember several times I've asked Brother Tom how he's doing, and he said he wasn't good. He's just going along with the Scripture there where the Bible tells us. There's none good. No, not one. But you know what? We've all come short of God's glory. And if we don't realize that there's only one way that this thing can be taken care of, there's only one way that man can be just in the sight of God. Well, we'll just get no further if we don't realize that. Everyone, somebody said, well, it'll all come out. You've heard the old expression, it'll come out in the wash. It'll all come out in the end. It'll all work itself out in the end. Everything will be all right. Well, no, you need to get it right now. You need to get things right now in your heart. We need to be just and right before God now. Last one, let me give you this thought. It's a question. It's a common question. It's an important question. Difficult. It's a question that man tries to answer on his own. But last of all, let me say it's a question that God alone can answer. It's a question that God alone can answer. Verse 10, the Bible tells us, and it says, which doeth great things, talking about God, past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. He's the only one that can make somebody just in his sight, make somebody right in the sight of a holy God. Because listen, first of all, let me say the reason that God's the only one that can do it. First of all, salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by works. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It said in the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So it's not by works that we're saved. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Like I said a while ago, you know, if it was our works that was getting us to heaven, we would have something to boast about. We'd have something to brag about when we get to heaven. But when we get to heaven, we'll have nothing to brag about. We'll have nothing to boast about. We'll lay our crowns down at the feet of the Savior. We'll lay any rewards that we have, no doubt, at the feet of our Savior, because it's all because of Him that we made it to heaven one day. Job said, how can a man be just with God? It's not by works, though. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. First of all, We see it's not by works. But let me say, well, preacher, how is it then? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me say it's by grace. It's by grace. That's the reason there have been so many songs sung or wrote about grace. Think about old John Newton wrote that song, Amazing Grace. Well, he knew what it was like to be helpless and hopeless and sinful and away from God. He was an old slave trader. All he had ever done all his life was sold slaves and down to the Caribbean islands from England and would ship them, and hundreds of them would die as the trips go forth and back. And one day God got a hold of his heart and saved an old wretch like John Newton. That's the reason he wrote the song. He said, I was blind, but now I see. Hey, he said that amazing grace, how sweet the sound. How sweet the sound that although I've sinned and although I'm helpless and although I'm hopeless and although there's no other way, I can't answer that question in myself. Thank God God came by my way. And the Holy Ghost of God showed me that that it's only by me putting my trust in a holy God that I can be saved. I guess it might have been on Wednesday night, but one night I remember I gave several different little acrostics, but a good acrostic for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches, God's goodness and God's riches being just with God, but not because we've done something, it's because of that He has done it all. Hey, we're not saved by works. We're saved by the finished work of Calvary, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing needs to be added to it and nothing needs to be taken away from it. I like old Oliver B. Green used to say that all the time. He said, it's the grace of God, plus and minus nothing. We can't take nothing away from it. We can't add nothing to it. It's the grace of God that we're saved. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace. Thank God for that. Freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, I tell you what, I didn't have no money to offer when I got saved. I don't know about you. You might have had a lot to put in the plate or whatever, I don't know. But I remember I was just a young boy. I didn't have no money to bring. I didn't have nothing to offer. And thank God it wasn't that was going to get me saved. It wasn't that was going to get me right. God touched my heart. The old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher preached the Word of God behind this pulpit right here, actually. And he preached the Word of God, and he said, you need to get saved. It was on Wednesday night God dealt with my heart. I left the third pew on this side over here and come down and got saved by God's marvelous grace. And hey, listen, there wasn't nothing I could brag about. There wasn't nothing I could say. I mean, I hadn't even been here long, amen. You get saved as a young child, you ain't even been here long. You don't have nothing to brag about, but I'm sure you could still look back and see that we've all transgressed against God. I could think of things that I've done wrong, things that I said wrong. But it doesn't matter if the sin or the guilt, it doesn't matter how much that weighs up. It matters what's on the other side. It matters about whether you're trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you what, that's the only thing that'll balance out the scales. Amen. Think about it. It's a question that only God can answer. It's not of works. It's by the grace of God. Ephesians 2 and 8, we read that earlier. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not only that, but let me say it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. I tell you what, if that don't stir our heart and touch our soul, I don't know what will. The Scripture says in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I think it was on Wednesday night, I was mentioning, saying, you know, if we do some great deed, or if we give our own lives, that's not going to save us. That's not going to, it isn't in us giving our lives. Somebody's already done that. Somebody's already given His life for you. Christ has already died on the cross. He's already shed His life's blood. His blood was there for an atonement and remains there for an atonement for our sins. And if you were the only sinner that on the face of this earth, I believe the Lord would have died for that one lost sinner to be saved. But no matter, the Bible tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for His goodness. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. The blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And thank God for them old songs about the blood. Amen. We sing those songs, and that's a blessing. The song, the choir sung one about the blood this morning. Thank God we can be thankful that there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Praise God. Not only that, but last of all, let me say, it's a question that God can only answer because it's not of works. It's by grace. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but it's by faith. It's by faith. I gave you a good acrostic on that. I guess it was Wednesday night. Forsaking all, I trust Him. It's by us putting our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone that we're saved. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "But unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." His faith is counted for righteousness. You think about all the sins that's upon us and all that we have to give an account for. But you know what? If we come before the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way this thing can be settled for us to be just and right in the sight of a holy God, the only way it can be settled is for us to cling to the cross. The only way for it to be settled is for us by faith to trust Him and believe Him that we might be saved. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, I shared with a young man there on Wednesday night this passage of Scripture, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I read a quote this past week. I'm going to give you it and I'm done. Amen, amen, roll me, I'll be done. But I read a quote this past week, and a Blaise Pascal preacher from many, many years back said, "There are only two kinds of men, the righteous who think they are sinners and the sinners who think they are righteous." I need to read that again. Let it sink in a little bit. The righteous who think they're sinners and the sinners who think they're righteous. Hey, the only way to be just with God is to go through the cross. Go by the way of the cross. That's the only way. I heard a song sung some time back, and that was the title of it, "By the Way of the Cross." And it told about different ones and everything, but it come down to the one that was right there as Jesus hung on the cross. There was a thief on either side. But one of them, he let God touch his heart. One of them, after a few moments of seeing him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he began to look at the Lord, and God began to touch his heart about coming to the Lord. And he even talked to the other thief and told him, you know, that he shouldn't be making light of the Lord or anything. You know, they asked the question, "If you're the Son of God, can you not bring yourself down?"
Amen.
But you know, the Lord said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Amen.
And the song goes on to say, hey, he came by the way of the cross. The last thing he ever done was talk to Jesus on the cross. That's the only way that we're saved. By faith, we accept Him and trust Him and believe Him. Then we can be just with God. I mean, you think about it. A holy God and a sinful man. The only way the gap can be bridged is at the cross of Calvary. The God-man, Jesus Christ, He took upon Himself the robe of flesh, and He took place in my place. And that's the only way He could reach down to sinful man. But He was holy God, and He never ceased to be God. So He reached up to heaven. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It's the only place that that God and man can meet and be just and right in the sight of a holy God. I'll ask the musicians to come around. God knows your heart. Thank God for His blessings. If there's someone here that you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure about my salvation."